Hi, and welcome to another Mystery School. My name is Jacob Cox, and our topic tonight is consciousness, a very beautiful topic, yet probably the biggest mystery that we've ever gone and did on this show, because I feel like it's pretty much unsolved for most of us, because we can talk about it, we can define it, but it's something that it's almost out of reach for us. But we can dive in it tonight and try to figure out exactly the best we can to kind of find out what is pure consciousness, what is consciousness, and what is the awareness that most of us seem to be seeking so often in our life. The simplest definition of consciousness is really just awareness of eternal and external existence. And that just means, what are we aware of on the outside, the things that are going on in our life? And what are we aware of on the inside? Those, you know, the emotions, the thoughts, the feelings, all the things that are going on the inside. I really like this first quote, and I have a few quotes for tonight. And I feel like to honor some people, I will, you know, throw out those quotes and give their names. But this one, first one, is from Max Planck. He says, "Science cannot solve the ultimate mystery of nature." And that is because in the last analysis, we ourselves are part of that mystery that we are trying to solve. I think that's a beautiful quote, meaning, how can we solve this great mystery unless we realize that we ourselves are exactly part of that mystery? And that is something I feel like, first and foremost, we do need to have. We do need to realize that the great mystery of all is ourselves, that the kingdom of heaven is truly within us. That's something that we must ultimately not just believe, but to know, to start this incredible journey of what is consciousness. Another great one from Max is, "All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds the most minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter." And we've talked about this matrix, the mind, the matrix of all matter before, and many other episodes, that literally the universe is one giant mind, and each of us like a synopsis, a place where things connect and all things come together and just shines. The electricity, the connection, the prana, all of it comes full force. And we are part of that center. We are literally the center of a universe, each and every single one of us. We're our own universe. Einstein said, "I want to know the mind of God. The rest are details." And after I really kind of started my own journey, I really got that quote myself, because I too want to know that mind. I want to know it because I want to be it as well. Like, that's the most admirable thing to be. And, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. To be just like a Christ or a Buddha or a Krishna, a Mary, any of those people, I want to be that. I want to know that mind. I want to know that heart as well. So what is the mind of God? Consciousness, that's exactly what it is. And what does it mean to know the mind of God? According to Eckhart Tolle, it's awareness, to be aware. Again, to be aware of everything that's going on outside, everything that's going on inside. And it seems almost at the very beginning of that, it's like a daunting task to know all those things, to be aware of all those things. But that's why it's a journey, and every journey has to start with one small step. We don't just get from one place to another. If we do that in our lives, we're just constantly trying to get somewhere the fastest we can get it, that we can get there. But that's not part of it. The most important part is, what do you learn along the way upon the journey, on the hero's journey? Who do you meet up with? The challenges that you face, the whole thing is part of it. You know, even, you know, when I go places, I tend to try to take the scenic route instead of the fastest way, because I want to see the things along the way. I want to stop at a country store. I want to meet somebody. I want to get something that I didn't know about before, you know, a campsite or something that I haven't been to yet. So I take the scenic route instead of just trying to get to there at the end. But if we take those small steps, we realize we don't learn it all at one point. We empty our bowl, we follow the breadcrumbs, And the universe gives us exactly what we need. The teacher appears when the student is ready, every single time, exactly when we're ready for it. And I think what's incredibly cool about this is we have to think, how this all started. Where did all this consciousness come from? There is some kind of void, right? And out of that void came awareness. The first might be described as prime creator. You know, not that that person was better or, you know, more intelligent or anything like that, but it's like the first rose that blooms on a rose bush. It's not the most beautiful one. It may not be the biggest one. It may not, some maybe even smell better. Others may be prettier, but they all create more beauty in this now. And if you just had one rose on the bush, I mean, that would be great. But how much greater than is the entire bush, because all of the blooms, all of the roses have bloomed. And I believe that is what's so important to realize. We literally are creation and we are creators. And it is to our benefit that everyone blooms, that everyone realizes their worth, that everyone realizes that they matter. And so it's almost with more consciousness that we feel this responsibility, I feel like, at least to give back, to help the others, to help them see who they are. When I first started this journey, it was just for me. It was just for me to realize, did God exist? What was spirituality? I didn't care if Jesus or Buddha or atheism, whatever it was. I just needed some truth in my life. Going to school for quite a long time and finishing, it just felt like there was nothing there for me. I didn't gain anything. So I asked the universe and God just to give it to me, whatever it was, the truth. I just ultimately needed it. And that opened up my path. And that's sometimes what all we have to do is just be open and be ready and empty our bowls completely and let that universe start to fill it up. So consciousness is not really mind. It is the basis of all being, though. The basis of both matter and mind. Matter and mind are both possibilities of consciousness. And I think that's a pretty powerful statement that we must have to kind of come to realize at some point, that the physical world that we see all comes from thoughts. Everything, the chairs, the bikes, the roads, the earth, the flowers, it all had to have some kind of thought, some kind of consciousness first for it to manifest. Those things are all the possibilities of consciousness. And I believe that is something profound. It's kind of like what came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken and the egg are both in the field, but they're both resonate in our physical world because of the consciousness that creates both when they're needed. That's when they appear. So the brain, when we talk about the mind, the brain is more to me like an instrument that plays the melody of the universe. As Tesla said, you know, I am not creating these ideas. Therefore, he didn't have patents. He gave all his patents to the public. But he said, I know that there's a core from which all things come from, all these thoughts and all these ideas, and that I haven't penetrated the core, but I know that it exists. I think that's really quite profound. And that's why their patents shouldn't be. All this information, it belongs to all of us. And the only difference between him and us was he received. He cleared his mind. He calmed down. And when things that needed to happen, happened, technologies that we need at the time come to certain people because they're ready and their receiver is clear and they're listening loud and clear. So we can teach our mind how to play the universal song. By being still and staying calm, we access more information and realizing we are part of this great creation, knowing that we're worthy. We're worthy for this information. We're worthy for understanding. We're worthy for great things to happen to us, for us to create new things and come up with new ideas of ways to do things. And I think it's even important to know that we are this great creation, and everything is that too. You know, people, animals, galaxies, universe, plants, and even rocks. And it may at first seem difficult to realize that even a rock sees, you know, that line from Avatar where this is, even a rock sees more than Jake Sully, you know? But I've heard that line so many times watching that movie, and I just kept thinking about it. Even a rock is conscious. When they asked the Dalai Lama, asked about the coherence, instruments that were picking up ones and zeros and everything. And somebody said, are they conscious? And he thought for a second. And he said, if you think they're conscious, they're conscious. But don't think of it just as a rock. The rock is like a cell of the earth. And if you were to take a cell out of my body and put it under a microscope, you would say that cell doesn't have any consciousness. But of course, my entire body does, right? And you can't, it's not even something you can see even in me, even though I'm awake and I'm aware and I'm speaking. You can't really scientifically measure it. But the rock is like a cell of the earth, just like our bodies are cells. And it sometimes, as I said, this may be one of the greatest mysteries that we've covered. But obviously the earth and humans are conscious beings. And who are we really? Albert Einstein said, a human being is a part of the whole, called by us, universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, and something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature and its beauty. And just hearing that from a guy who lived, 100 years ago, give or take, one of the greatest recognized scientists. And we know about the theory of relativity and all these other things, but these incredible spiritual quotes that he had makes you realize that his mind was working so well because he was getting in tune with it. He was getting alignment with this consciousness, just as philosophers and saints and mystics have for millennia. And Einstein obviously realized that compassion must embrace all living creatures and all of nature in itself. And that makes us realize that we ourselves are that exact nature. We are that exact God that we're looking for. And everybody's looking for God without. And you're never going to find that because God, it is without, but it also is within. And I think sometimes we negate that and we have to realize we too are part of that great mystery. So we are obviously more than our names. We're more than our gender, our skin color, small town that we think we're from. We're literally God consciousness coming into this body to be humans for just a small time. Brian Cox says, we are the cosmos made conscious, and life is the means by which the universe understands itself. That the universe almost needs people and beings to blossom, to come to fruition, and to get to know each other, to get to know itself, to get to understand itself, to evolve and to grow even more conscious and more awareness. I think that's an incredible feeling to know that at some point that you are part of the great mystery, and therefore your exploration is just as profound as anybody who has come or ever will come. The universe is literally like a conscious factory, creating more all the time, where it's to expand and grow. We are each our little universe, at each and every single one of us. We have our own inner laws that reflect our reality, and how you perceive the universe determines the reality that we experience. That's incredibly profound. Literally, how you perceive it is what you get back. How do you see the universe? How do you see people? How do you see the underlyings of all this? How does it work? Is this happening to you, or is it happening for you? Are you being punished? Are you just growing and you are really just having consequences for your actions? And not the consequences are bad. Consequences will be positive or negative. I think it's really important to know we are in this world, but we are not of it. Meaning, you go to school, you go to work, you stop at the red lights, you pay your taxes, you do all the things because we are here, but we came from the one, we came from consciousness. And that in itself helps us realize that, what Christ was saying, give what's Caesar's to Caesar, but give God what is God's. So if they ask you to pay taxes, pay them. If you need this, if they need you to give this, give it to them and give it with gratitude. give it with grace. Give it with, I'm glad I have it to give it to you. Even when Jesus was asked for money to give for his taxes, he said, go down the stream and find this fish and you'll find gold in his mouth, you know, and he came up with this magic, you know, magically came up with that solution to pay his tithes or whatever, but he did it. Give what the government, give what they ask for you. At some level, we have to be in this world, but we're certainly not of it. We're certainly more mystical, magical than we could possibly know. And that is a small part of being on this 3D dimension, is doing those little things. But for sure, definitely realize the mystical, magical part of yourself and give into that just as much, if not more, especially more. So is consciousness a state of being, or is it an endless journey? Because I hear so many people say, you know, that enlightenment is a state of being. And I don't disagree, but I also do believe that it's still continuously an endless journey. We explore outer space so often. We go to the moon, we go to the depths of the ocean, while forgetting inner space. How important that is. And it's just as infinite as well to reside in the spirit of your own soul, to go deep within yourself and to realize the great I am that I am. And I've been in those moments where I've been completely by myself meditating and realized I was part of the earth and part of the Milky Way and part of the universe and part of the multiverse. And I was connected to every single part of it. And I felt quantum peace with it. And that was incredibly important for me, at least, to realize that there's no reason to be jealous because somebody gets to go to Italy or somebody gets to go to Peru or whatever else. You can become just as conscious, just as aware, just as enlightened by sitting in your own room by yourself than those other things. And those other things are great, the traveling and going to spiritual places, but it is certainly just as important, if not more, to go within yourself and to find out who you really are, to free yourself from these prisons that Einstein and other people were talking about. And this leads to our growth. I mean, that's ultimately it, right? Growing in awareness, growing in our consciousness, and finding out who we really are and what we're really made of, what we're capable of. Lao Tzu said, the key to growth is the introduction of consciousness into our awareness. The introduction of consciousness into our awareness. Being completely aware of all the things that are going on all the time. Why things are happening to us. Why the person said the same thing to me that they said yesterday, or, you know, the same girlfriend or a different girlfriend said the same thing as one before, or this job ends up the same way. Why is that happening to me? Am I unlucky? Am I being punished? Or is it simply a lesson that the universe has given me, and it's going to give it to me over and over and over again until I learn why it's given it to me? Then I know, and if I master that step, if I master that class, I no longer have to take it. But there's going to be more, obviously, on top of that. But that karma, that perpetuating cycle, no longer abides to my universe. I've overcome that, and I go through it, and I move on to grow into other things. So life will always give us whatever experience we need for the evolution of our consciousness. And we need to evolve our consciousness because Einstein said, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that was created. So we got these problems with our society, with education, with politics, and we're like, we're just going to fix it and slap this Band-Aid on and everything okay. No, we've got to completely rise above and see what actually caused these problems on our planet. What's actually causing these cycles of karma that we don't want, that are not for the highest good for all the people? Well, we've got to rise our consciousness to a level that supersedes that, so we can look up from another place and say, you know what? All we have to do is do something completely different. You know, this isn't working, so why we keep doing the same thing over and over again? That's insanity. Instead, let's rise above it and see what is the way to actually solve the problem so that we can move on and we don't have to deal with it over and over again. Just keep continuously put Band-Aids on it. And that's part of that is changing the way we look at things. And when we change the way we look at things, we change what happens to us. the things we look at change, right? Because when I look at someone and say that person's, you know, for the better part, evil, or they're no good, or there's nothing you can get out of them, and I'm probably going to get that. I'm going to get those bad things, those negative things, those encounters with that person that are going to seem like things that just hurt me or make me mad or trigger me. But if I can say, you know what, I really know that that person is just hurting. I know that they're suffering in some way. I know that they're going through some things, but I know ultimately that's got to be a good person. It's got to be someone who's got some piece of the puzzles that I need if I keep running into them. Then that's happened to me when I go and I decide, you know what, I'm going to let this person be who they are. I'm going to stand here and listen, and I'm going to see what they have to offer me in my journey. Every single time, that is exactly what happens. And I realize just because I changed the way I looked at that person, when I changed when I looked at that event or that situation, that circumstance, literally the things started to change because I saw it differently, and that every single person can see the same circumstance differently. You know, you can wake up in the morning, stub your toe and say, man, today is going to be a crappy day, and probably will be for you. You will find yourself at every red light, you'll run into every negative person, you'll spill things on yourself. But if you can just say, you know what, it's just an isolated incident, I'm not going to let it happen. I'm going to take that as a sign to slow down for the rest of the day and be humble and relax a little bit and listen so that doesn't happen again. Then there may be some unrevealing of things that happened for you. Then you say, oh, well, I'm glad that that worked out that way, because if that wouldn't happen that very first part of the morning, I might have had some other bad things, even worse things happen. But certainly, if you think that's what's your day is going to get bad, it can build up and build up and build up and get worse. And I know probably most of us listening to this tonight have had situations just like that where, oh, it's going to be a crappy day. When it rains, it pours. Those are laws to your universe that you do not want to have. When it rains, it pours. It's going to be a bad day. You say stuff like that, especially with the emotion that you feel it. Oh, I know it's going to be a bad day. Boy, you can create that instantly, and the rest of your day can be terrible. And once it starts going, it's even harder to get out of it. But that first time that something happens, if you can stop for a second and forgive, let go, understand, you know, say, hey, look, that's fine, it's all good, and move on, it tends to be a whole lot easier in that first moment than after it's building up, at least for me. Einstein said, the most important decision you'll ever make is whether you live in a friendly universe or a hostile one. I think that's super important. I'm going to say it one more time. The most important decision we will ever make is whether we live in a friendly universe or a hostile one. So important. Is going out into the world, is it happening to you? Are you unlucky? Does the world hate you? Do you think everything is in chaos and going to hell in a handbasket? Or do you think we're just getting to know ourselves? We're learning, we're growing, we're becoming more aware. These instances of things I don't necessarily like, at least give me the opportunity to not be a part of them, to not gossip with them, to change, to see contrast. All those things I think are beautiful and perfect things that help us on our journey and to give us those challenges that we need and those triggers that we need to see, so that we can evolve and grow past that. But if we believe that the universe is hostile and things are going to happen, and bad things are going to happen, that if I go to another country by myself, that I could end up dead, I would not go to a country by yourself. And I have been to countries by myself, and I believe that it was all going to work out. And I believed it was going, things were going to happen better than I could imagine. And instead of buying certain things in America to go to Peru or go to Panama or something, I said, you know, I'm going to find a local to sell me that ticket to Machu Picchu and those kind of things. And when I did that and I didn't try to mess it all up, murky the water, and I went there feeling good and being in excitement and my highest alignment, I ran into the people just magically on the street, picking me up in a taxi, taking me to their place, giving me the most incredible ticket for $300 to go all the beautiful places that I wanted to go and more. And it just happened with the flow. And I think that's all we have to do. The universe is a beautiful place where beautiful people come into alignment with me and give me the things that I need. And so I think that is really, honestly, one of our most important laws, universe. Is this universe hostile or is it friendly? Definitely, it can be both. It is both. I'm a Gemini, so I totally believe in, you know, both sides being totally relevant. But how we see it is what we experience, and that is super important. You know, there people say it's the end of the world. It is the end of the world coming. But guess what? That's great, because if the end of this world's coming, then a new one has to be coming. What are you looking for? Are you looking for the end? Because if you're looking for the end, don't be surprised if you fall in a crater, fall in an earthquake, or a volcano takes you out, or whatever. Tsunamis, you're on the wrong place at the wrong time. But if you believe it's the beginning of a new one, and that you see that new world coming in to emerge, then you can be a part of it. Then you'll be at the right place at the right time with the right people giving you the right information when you need it to be where you need to be at all times. And it'd be like a magical flowing journey for you. So is it loving and creating for you, or is it happening to you? That's your decision to make. Both are right for whoever wants to make it. So consciousness, to me, is everything. And really, honestly, when you think about it, the scientists say this all the time, nothing is solid, right? They say everything is 99.9% empty space, right? So that means we're just a thought. My home is just a thought. My family and the people that I hang out with in this world, everything is just this imagination of the mind of the matrix. And it's all literally like a dream. It's a big freaking dream. And we can fall into alignment with that dream, or you can fall into alignment with the nightmare, believing that it's the end of the world, believing that it's a hostile environment. It is up to you. And every person is right. If you believe it's a nightmare, it's a nightmare for you. If you believe it's heaven on earth, it's heaven on earth for you. I, for myself, felt like I had created hell on earth. And I knew at a moment in time before I moved to Colorado that if I was powerful enough to create my own hell, then surely I had to be powerful enough to create my own heaven. And that changed everything for me and empowered me. And I believe if that's where you're at right now, if you're in your own personal hell, take a step back and think about how powerful you must be then to create that for yourself. And if we do get in alignment with that dream, the dream life that we always wanted, that we know that we're worthy of, then that oneness is really our reward. That we become one with life itself, with consciousness, with God. One of the most beautiful quotes I think I've ever heard comes from Rumi. This aloneness is worth more than 1,000 lives. This freedom is worth more than all the lands on earth. To be one with the truth just for a moment is worth more than the world and life itself. I don't know about you guys, but there have been many times in my life at this point that I have become one with the truth. That I followed the breadcrumbs, I read the books, I went to the places, I felt the gratitude, and most of the time by myself, but oftentimes too with people and events and things, that I felt like I was downloaded with information, mysteries that I never even suspected to even think about were revealed to me. I felt like I was part of a secret club. And I feel like that's why there's so many secret clubs, because they want to emulate what the universe is given, but they're not really getting the real juice, the real pure consciousness part of this mystery. The universe loves us all, and it wants to divulge to us incredible insights to truth, to freedom. And in those moments where I felt like I was on this quest and I was following these breadcrumbs and I was listening to the universe, and all of a sudden, in just a blink of an eye, I was downloaded with information. Or maybe even sometimes it felt like I was just totally remembering it, that it was just coming alive inside of my DNA, inside of me. And I felt that Holy Spirit come across me and just completely become one with love. Unconditional love, that I knew God unconditionally loved me, that my angels were with me, my ancestors were with me. And in those moments of pure consciousness, all division dissolved, and I stand in the oneness of truth. Man, those feelings, that freedom that love that I know God has for me, and I know God has for every single one of us, and we should have it for ourselves, obviously, is so freeing. It's so incredible. To me, it's better than going to Machu Picchu in Peru. It's better than going to these sacred sites, just to have that moment of aloneness with truth, to know you have been divulged something by the universe to you directly, because you are worthy. Now you have opened up your bowl, you emptied your bowl, you've realized that there's a lot more to what's going on, and you've asked the universe for the breadcrumbs, and you've listened, and you've done your work. That is one of the most incredible feelings of worthiness that I feel like I've ever felt, to know that I solve part of this great mystery. And you know what, all the things I've been privy to, all the things the universe has given me, the mysteries that have been divulged to me, it's like, you know, this much, just a tiny little drop of the universe, but that feels good, because you know it's infinite. And that, you know, school told us about certain things and mysteries, and that almost everything is solved and we figured everything out, it's all a lie. Even if it's not a lie, at the very least, they're definitely mistaken. There are so many incredible things to learn about yourself, about this universe, about the world, about love, that it's awe-inspiring that you can continuously learn incredible amounts of new things every single day and every single moment. It's infinite. You're never going to run out. To me, it's consciousness is not a state of being. It is an endless journey that never ends. And that even after we become enlightened and we learn some things, there is going to be things beyond that, universes beyond that, that we are going to continuously learn, continuously have to understand and solve and be a part of. I mean, there's no end to it. There's no limit to it. And like I said, that makes me incredibly excited and grateful. Like I said, that I have been divulged this incredible amount of information. And I know if the universe thought enough of me for me to be created, if it thought enough of me to divulge these secrets to me, then I know every single person out there, if you just start to get serious about it and start to speak out to the universe like you would speak to anybody else, and start to believe in what you're saying and mean what you're saying and ask it for real, you know, divulge to me some information today that I'm ready for, you know, stand in line with that, say it true and move on. And I guarantee the universe will divulge those things to you that you are ready for. It happens all the time. Every day now, I feel like for me, there's new things that are happening. And just last night, I feel like going to a circle with men and everything else, there's so many things of synchronicity and alignment that just feels so good. I've definitely appreciated to be in more circles, more spiritual events, you know, just to feel like these events that we're online talking about right now, they matter. Every single bit of it matters. Get into alignment with those things. Go to those events that make you feel happy, that make you feel gratitude. That emotion that you feel in yourself is incredibly important for your journey to get in alignment with. So at the end of the day, when we're talking about this consciousness, we're talking about this enlightenment. I think most people want to hear me talk about Christ consciousness, right? You want to hear that word, Christ consciousness, that pure, vibrant consciousness that is the mind of God, that loving all and giving others free will and seeing in them their highest state, that we can get in alignment with that. 100%, 100% we can all get in line with that Christ consciousness. And to me, when it talks about like the only Son of God, it doesn't say, you know, that we're not, we're all sons and daughters of God, right? But the only Son is perfect in the way, I believe, that it reflects, he or she reflects the way that God loves us, the way that God sees us, that it does see us in our highest state. It does give us free will to be exactly who you are. And I see you right now exactly who you are, but I also see you in your most highest light, in your most highest joy. And I think that's how Christ could magically heal people, is that I can see you healed already. I can see what you think, what you're doing, what you're feeling, your dis-ease that you might be stuck in that keeps you from feeling your best self. And if you could only change this up a little bit, you would go back in that state of ease. Christ consciousness is something I feel like we think of as somebody who's obtained it and they've got it because they have unconditional love. That's kind of right. But at the same time, each and every single one of us have unconditional love within us. You think about that. It's not that you don't have unconditional love. I think the only difference between someone like Christ and a saint and us ourselves is that's all they have to offer. That's all they have to give is unconditional love. There are times when I felt totally in line with these things and I have experienced situations in the same way. You know, for instance, when someone completely abstains from wanting to hurt others, having lustful thoughts or evil thoughts about something or somebody, other beings, even animals, feel safe around you. And you're totally happy when you're totally feeling that kindness and that awareness of, you know, my thoughts and my feelings affect everyone in the room. You guys all know and probably experience yourself, when I'm feeling that, dogs come sit with me. Babies want to come, you know, play with me. Children want to play with me. But when I'm feeling afraid, when I'm feeling depressed, when I'm feeling angry, I'm in the same body, but I go to places and I don't feel the same resonance from those babies, from those animals. But when you completely master and discipline your own thoughts, feelings, and emotions, you can sit with lions and not get eaten because they see you as a brother. They see you as a master and they see you as someone who wouldn't hurt them. Therefore, they're not going to hurt you. I do 100% believe that is attainable for all of us. But first, we must master our own thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and that we harbor no hatred for anybody else. We harbor no feeling of wanting to lust over someone or do anything to someone that's not in a positive light. And when we really do obtain that exact feeling in our awareness, in our consciousness, and we have that with us everywhere we go, it doesn't matter where you go, you are that no matter what. People feel relaxed next to you. Animals feel relaxed next to you. And I feel like I've been that person where I've walked into a room with small dogs and or other dogs and had feelings and of thoughts of, you know, I don't want to get jumped on or those kind of things. And those things happen to me. And I feel like, oh, you know, sweet and nice. And then all of a sudden the dog walks up to you and looks at you or whatever. And same thing with people. I've had situations where people just say, sitting next to me before, I said, man, you just feel so calm and relaxed and everything. And that's not me touching them. That's them saying they're sensing my aura. They're sensing that feeling of, I feel okay around you. I feel calm around you. I feel I can trust you. Those are feelings that people have, not necessarily thoughts. They can be thoughts too, but the thing that really resonates with them is the feeling that I feel when I get next to those people. I think that is the most pure, vibrant consciousness that we are looking for to obtain. But first, we must master our thoughts, feelings, and emotions and have discipline. It's not to get mad at yourself when those things arise. See them, feel them, understand them, and know, you know, they're there. I'm not going to dwell on them. I'm not going to keep thinking about them. I'm going to move on and think about something else. Or I'm going to, you know, what is it that I need to work on? Am I angry at someone? Am I mad at someone? Can I let that go? Can I forgive people? And the forgiveness, I feel like, is one of the most important recipes for alleviating those thoughts. If I'm not angry with anyone, if I'm not mad with anyone, if I forgive them, I certainly can't be angry anymore about that. And I don't forgive because they deserve it, because they apologized. I forgive for my own freedom, my own peace. And I feel like that is really, honestly, at the end of the day, one of the most important things is that how can the mind of God resonate in me if I am not peaceful? If I'm all murky in the water, moving around and afraid and angry, I am not still. And I must be still to feel that God presence. Be still and know that I am God. And so are you. And that calmness, that relaxation, when we are calm in our prefrontal cortex turns on, it allows us to think better. We have deeper emotions, deeper thoughts, deeper understandings. You know, you don't say things you don't regret because you're being fully awareness in your own heart, in your own brain, in your own emotions, and you can master them. And you don't allow yourself to get angry about things and be triggered about things. If there's something that comes up and you realize that there's something someone's saying that you need to hear, you realize it, but I'm not going to let it make me get angry so that I say things and push those people away because they have something that I need. Instead, I stay calm. I realize there's something about what they're saying that's on the agenda for me to grow a little bit more. And that I feel like is super important. The more calm and relaxed you can stay in any situation, the more I believe, and I felt often, that we can allow that mind of God to incarnate into us, that Christ consciousness, that Buddha nature, that Krishna spirit that can come into us and be with us and be here now. That I have experienced. And when I had that experience to me, I knew I felt amazing at that moment. I felt love. I felt power. I felt humbleness. I felt unconditional love. And it only lasted for a small time. And I felt like it was riding a wave. You know, you get up and you feel good and you're riding, you're in the flow, but you fall down. You have to keep getting back up there. You have to keep falling to alignment. You have to keep feeling that gratitude, mastering those emotions, and getting back into that moment, that pure, vibrant consciousness that we all are. We know that we are made of the elements. When our compassion is in full force, we can walk through fire and not get burned. When we master our emotions, we can walk on water. I think it is so important that each and every single one of us learn to master and have discipline for ourselves in this life, for those emotions, for those thoughts, the feelings, the lustful ideas that we have. Because Christ said, if you lust over someone, you might as well have done it because the brain thinks that you've done it already. It is now time for us in these moments to master ourselves, the greatest mystery of all. I think it's so important that we learn to drop our labels, love our neighbor as ourself, because we are all one. We are all one. We are the greatest mystery that there is. And we just have to dive into ourselves and find that pure, vibrant, radiant consciousness that lies within each and every single one of us. I've felt it many times, and I feel like that's the path that I always want to get on. I feel like it has a lot of recipe that goes with the gratitude, the love for yourself, forgiveness, compassion, and feeling those emotions and honoring your code, how you want to show up in the world. That's super important. I want to thank each and every single one of you tonight for being here with me. Probably one of our greatest mysteries. And I feel like we've got a little bit tonight, just the tip of that iceberg, but there's so much underneath. And I feel like I'm really excited to hear what you guys have to say about this at the Ascension Works TV. So I just want to say thank you guys all for showing up, for being here, for doing your work, for mastering your emotions, having that discipline, showing up, because each and every single one of you matter in this world. So I just want to say thank you guys all. The light, the divine nature, the love of my heart, sees, honors, and recognizes the divine love and the most beautiful part of you as well. Namaste.